I'm in the army now. I'm in the army now. You gotta get up. You gotta get up. You gotta get up in the morning. Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I hate to get out of bed. When the bugler blows his horn, oh, I hate him most of all. But you gotta get up. You gotta get up. You gotta get up in the morning. When you're in the army, when you're in the military, you have to do what is called upon for you to do. When the bugle blows in the morning, you get up. And they even have speakers in the various dormitories, barracks as they call them, so that every one of the soldiers will hear the bugle call through the speaker system. You blast you out of bed. And the most fun of all in the army is the time of sharing between the sergeant and his men. The sergeant has a love affair with his men. He'd like to sleep with every one of his men. He just loved to cuddle them and snuggle them and just kiss them to pieces, wouldn't he? The sergeant is kind of a tough guy. He has 90 days normally in boot camp to train the soldiers in preparation for going to war. So he's got to make men out of boys. Usually it's boys that come into the army between the ages of 17 and 21 or somewhere in that area. And most have never been away from home. Most have never learned to put their clothing away. Most have never learned to make their bed so that you can drop a coin on it and it'll jump up in the air, you know, if you so taunt. And most of them have never learned to be self-disciplined. And so all of a sudden, they go in the army, and up comes this ugly, miserable, sub-bubble-bubble sergeant who says, "Quiet! Up and at 'em! Up! One, two, three! Who left their bed unmade? 10 demerits!" And then, you know, on with it. On. And they don't get a chance to go back and make it. They get 10 demerits. The next day, if it's made poorly, they get 20 demerits. The next day, if it's made poorly, they get 30, and on up. But in the old days, in the old army of the First World War and the beginning of the Second World War, the sergeant would come in there and take his stick and tap! He'd say, "Make that bed right. Everybody stall a little tension while he makes that bed right. Now, make that bed right and make a taunt." And he'd take his stick and he'd hit the guy. He'd really hit the guy. And my goodness, the guy learned fast. He got the message real quick in a hurry. But as the army became more human, you might say, more sissified, the sergeant wasn't allowed to do that. And as time went on, the sergeant wasn't even allowed to use cuss words. He couldn't say, "You guys," you know. He had to say, "Now, guys, shape up. This is how it is." You know, he had to get real sharp with them using ordinary language. And that was tough for the old-time sergeants because they were used to being very very firm and very outspoken and very naughty. But they got results. They had to get these kids ready to go to the Second World War, to the First World War, whatever war it was. They had to get them ready. They had to get them shaped up. They got to get muscles on their body. They had to get muscles in their mind to make them be independent and yet learn to follow the rules and self-disciplined and self-determined and self-dedicated and self-diligent and one-pointed and untouchable and unpossessed and non-just. That's what the sergeant did with them. And in 90 days, he had them cleaned up. Now, that's child's play. That's child's play. Let's move to another branch of the service called the Marines. The Marines train guys quick. Stand up straight, tummy in, chest out, you know, up and shoulders back. And I want to see you walking like that every moment of the day. I want you sleeping like that. You know, you got a rod down the middle of your back. Sleep like that and do it. And the guys love the Marines. They love that discipline. They never had it at home. Nobody at home cared enough to make them shape up. Nobody at home cared enough to have them have good posture. Nobody at home cared enough to have them have a straight spine instead of a curved spine. Nobody at home cared enough because they didn't know about it. They had not been trained in it. They didn't understand how that principle worked. But in the Army, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, the medical doctors, they all teamed up to find what's the fastest, best way to train the human body for maximum service so he can go and get killed. Happy day, yeah. So what's the best way to train them? And the Marines were the hardest. Oh, they were hard. They would make a guy get down and pull down his pants, and then they'd take a stick and hit him. They would do all sorts of interesting things, you know, really mean. And it's humiliating enough to pull your pants down in front of the other guys in the shower. That's another thing. But, you know, out on the drill field, and then to be whumped, you know. Oh, boy, did those guys learn fast. Some died. Some died. Some couldn't handle it. And they had been a mommy's boy, you know. They had been mollycoddled all of their life. It goes that way. And they learned to follow the rules. They learned to follow the discipline. They learned to follow the rules. They learned to follow the discipline. And they never made mistakes sending stuff to the left instead of to the right. See? They never made mistakes. They followed the rules. They learned those rules. Those rules were inculcated into them until they were masters. And everyone who came out of the Marine Corps said, I am proud to be a Marine. I am proud to be a Marine. I am proud. When they came out of the Army, yeah, I was in the Army. When they came out of the Navy, yeah, Navy, it's real nice. I was a Navy man. I liked it personally myself. And but when they came out of the Marines, they were proud to be a Marine. You could tell a Marine from, you know, a mile away, he stood straight and tall. He loved himself. He believed in himself. He had discipline. He had courage. He had confidence. He was fantastic. All he had to do was learn a little bit of quality, and he would have been a master. But you see, the Marine was a tough nut. He was having himself a good time. He was fooling around, doing all sorts of things that he shouldn't be doing. And the Marine learned how to manipulate people. And a lot of Marines turned out to be fabulous people. But a lot of Marines got themselves in trouble. They got themselves in trouble because they thought they were superior to the others, which is what they were taught in the Marine Corps. You are the greatest of the corps. You are the most fantastic. The Army, the Navy, but you know, in the Navy, we call the Marines our bellhops on ship, because they were put aboard the ship to do the necessary duties and stand guard and protect the officers from anything that might happen, whatever, you know. So, but the Marines train their men in 90 days to be fabulous, to be masters of themselves, masters of their body. They came out with their bodies slick and trim, no fat. They came out wonderful, but they missed a point, just like transcendental meditation. It misses a purpose. It misses a purpose. Transcendental meditation is great. It moves you into meditation. It's fantastic, but it doesn't give you a direction to go when you're in there. And your direction should be to your divine self. Simple as that. I'm sure the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi could have easily said that, but I didn't have a chance to talk with him. So that's the story there. The Marines are fantastic. The Army was good. The Navy was good. But not as brilliant as the Marines were as far as physical fitness, as mental fitness, as stamina, as standing up for principle and being esprit de corps. The Marines would stand beside each other under any circumstance. Well, the Army and Navy would too, but that's only because there were guys in there that were good. All the guys weren't trained that way, but some guys naturally were good. You understand? They naturally took to principle. They naturally did. But in the Marines, whether they took to it or not, they were trained and trained and trained and trained and trained, and miracles happened. Now, you might say, what's coming next? Here at the monastery, we're more gentle. We train you in consciousness. We train you in mind. Well, I do my best. I do my best. How many times must I tell you, Heinz? It goes where? To your right. Everybody, it goes to your right. You don't set it to your left. It goes to your right. Okay. Now, we pass the food around the table to the right. These are rules that we have here. And these simple little rules that I keep bringing to your attention, you don't do. Now, this morning, all of you were supposed to remain in the Swimex until the Swimex was clean and ready. And most of you left far before the time for 6:50, wasn't it? What was the time for the Swimex to be done? You were supposed to leave 5:55 for your shower. Oh, this is the old schedule. Give me the new one here. That's the old schedule, too. So, I mean,
out.
There's a new schedule, maybe. Yes, return to monastery. At 5:50, you're supposed to begin cleaning up the swimex, and at 6, you leave for the monastery. Mm-hmm. Now, all of you left before 6. Heinz remained behind to finish up a little bit. Now, Heinz is not your slave. Heinz is not your asshole that you tell to do things, whether he's your husband or whether he's your friend or whatever. You're all supposed to be there until 6. And at 6, you head for the monastery on the run. You got 10 minutes. It doesn't take that long. You got 10 minutes to get up here. So don't worry about it. Don't leave your post until the time appointed to leave. Because if you do, you're not going to get the benefit from it. You know what I mean? That's what the story is all about. You're not here because you're in some mollycoddle thing where I'm just making you feel good, although I'm about to make a change in my presentation. But you're here to learn self-discipline. You're here to learn to like yourself. You're here to learn to say, I have agreed to follow this program, and I am going to follow it to the letter. I'm going to follow it so that my heart is confident, that I feel good about myself. I feel wonderful. I feel magnificent. Now, Friday, Cynthia leaves, and Astrid is going to be here for a few weeks or however long you're going to be here, and it's not a lifetime. You've only got that short time. Make the most of it. You've only got 2 more days before you head out for other pastures, but make the most use of it. Really enjoy every minute of it. Go by this, and don't pay attention to him. I want you to both be as though you don't even know each other. That's good. Mm-hmm. Because if you share with each other what you're doing, mm-hmm. you're not growing individually. Mm-hmm. And you're not growing individually. If you are dependent on her, now this morning, you courteously said she may walk ahead of you as you walked around the end of the swimex. Now, that's a lovely thing for a husband to do, or a gentleman to do. But there's no husbands or gentlemen here. There are only developing masters here. And these developing masters must come to the awareness that you are the only one here. You, by yourself, you're the only one here. Don't expect him to be courteous. Don't expect him to open the door. Don't you open the door for people, and don't you do these things. Be a budding master. What the heck? Get the best that you can out of this stuff. Attaboy. He's okay. He's just tearing up the old program that shouldn't have been lying around here. I asked you all to destroy the old program so you don't get mixed up on them. And if it says return to the monastery on it, then you know you got the right one. Okay. Now, if I were a drill sergeant in the Army, that's tough. If I were a drill sergeant in the Marines, my goodness, you would be bending over backwards to accomplish the goals that are set for you, and you would know. You know, in the Army and Navy, it was always a statement by the soldiers and the sailors to never volunteer for anything because you always had plenty to do. And in the Marines, there is a statement, always volunteer, always be out front. Always offer yourself. Always give your best. Always be on top. What a difference. What a difference. Can you see why the Marines come out self-confident, dynamic, absolutely fantastic men, and out of the Army, they come out pretty much human, you know, pretty much ordinary. They changed a little bit insofar as they've toughened up in preparation for doing what they have to do, but not much. Not much. They're still just kids. In the Marines, after 90 days, those kids are turned into men. And they are really men, really tough. The sergeant gets them up in the middle of the night, marches them out on the field. He takes them on long marches for a day and a half, you know, just stopping to rest for a few minutes. And they get blisters on their feet and sores on their feet, and they got to keep going. They got to keep moving. They got to keep going. And then when they're in the marshes and in the swamps, which the Marines take their men into, and some of the Army does too, they get wet water in their shoes, you know. And then they have to walk with their wet shoes, which, you know, rub against their feet, and their feet are just like misery. But they learn to tolerate it. They learn to handle it. Now, it's a little severe. It's a little maxi. But what wonderful quality of being comes out of that? What a master they would make if they had a little bit of that training in there too. To be aware that the divine in them can do anything. That they think, I can do anything. I am the master. I am the greatest. And that's good as far as it goes. But who is this I am? This I am is their divinity. This I am is that fantastic quality of them who is their reality. And this is what we share. And if it comes back from where it has turned around from in the beginning, then put it aside. Okay, but not on the table. Okay, we follow our rules here. Our rules are like powder puffs. You know what a powder puff is? A poof, 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 powder on your face, you know what women do? Or a cotton swab or something like that. And no, what would you say, power to it. But the rules that they learned in service were rules that held those guys for life. Oh, some people have a penchant for being fat and lazy. And they went into the Marines too. When they came out, they weren't fat and lazy. But when they came out, they put aside all the training that they had, most of it that is, and they just became their human self again. They let their wives feed them luscious foods in superior amounts. They let themselves have the attitude that they should eat. Now, this went both for the women Marines and the men. The women Marines were a little less like that because they had learned that discipline, and that was the discipline they learned all their life, too. A woman has a little different discipline in her life than a man does. A woman is a more definite, a more controlled, a more directed person than a man is. A man allows himself to be hither and yon by the toys of life. A woman takes responsibility, so to speak, of the home and of business and of responsibility of taking care of the family. And the man doesn't always do that. He feels like he can go running off like some of the animal in the animal kingdom. The woman does in the lion. The tiger just plays around all day with a big mane and so forth. And the lioness takes care of the den, takes care of feeding them, and feeds him too. And all he does is just lay around and have fun. But you see, that happens also in the human activity, where the wife takes the responsibility. And that's called a kept man, you know. And there are a lot of kept men in this world. And there are a lot of kept women in this world, too, who do not have any responsibilities at all, just to be pretty and what have you. Now, what sort of life do you want for yourself? We're here at the monastery to have a great time, to be illumined. We're here to have military training more strict than the Marines ever thought of having. Because the Marines worked on the body, which was great. They worked on the mental attitude, which is great, but they didn't work on the spiritual attitude. Perhaps they did in a way, but we are working on the spiritual attitude, mental, and then physical. We're adding them all together. You're having physical work here to do so that your body will be fabulous and comfortable without too much attention. You're having mental work to do here so that your mind will be alert and crisp and sharp. But you're having primarily spiritual work to hear. And that spiritual work is when you say, I am God, God I am. I am master of my world. I am in control of my thought at all times. Every thought I think is a thought that I choose to have demonstrated in my life. Oh, the car is going to hit the tree. Is that what you choose to have demonstrated in your life? Well, then don't say it. Don't think it. Don't allow it in your mind. Be so clean in your mind, in your spirit, that there's no place for anything other than what you consider your reality, your divinity. And it's what you consider your reality and your divinity. Because whether you like it or not, what you consider your reality and your divinity is pretty tough, is pretty definite, is pretty wonderful. A lot of people, they say, well, can of beer and television set, I'm satisfied for life, you know. No problem, no problem. Like the man who was sitting before the television set, and the kids were tearing up the house. He didn't even notice it. He was so engrossed in the television set. And this is what we do. We get so engrossed in our physical pains and our physical aches and our physical nonsense and our mental nonsense, where we are unbalanced or something. And what happens? We don't pay attention to our spiritual balance. Once we have our attention pointed fully on our spiritual balance, the mental and physical will take care of itself perfectly. It has to. It cannot be out of balance with our spiritual reality. So our spiritual reality is out of balance when our body is out of balance and our mind is out of balance and our life is out of balance, relationships and our experiences. It's us. It's not the other person, ever. It's not the other person in relationships. It's not the other person in our world where other people exist that we have created. It's our attitude about ourselves. Because we would not create people in our world who are not harmonious with us. We would not create war in our world. We would not create anger and hatred and mistrust and those other nonsensical things. We'd only create purity, love, truth, honor, joy, harmony, peace, wholeness, abundance. That's all that we want to create. Are you ready for that? I am. I enjoy it. I enjoy it very, very much. Now, I'd like you to enjoy it too. So, join me. I love you.